I was teaching in a Pentecostal church one time. And after I got through teaching, the pastor came up and said, I want you to pray for me a new wife. I said, but I thought this woman's your wife. He said, she is. But I want another one. Do you think God would answer a prayer like that? Absolutely not. So I told him, I said, brother, I can't believe you even asked me that question. I said, I know why nothing supernatural happens in this church. He didn't meet the criteria of loving his wife very much, did he, brother? Not at all. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. I asked the Lord, according to that scripture, to heal my granddaughter and put her brain stem back together. And then I guaranteed them that when they pulled all the tubes out of her, instead of dying, she would live. And they all knew, just like this lady said a while ago, they all knew I was crazy. But they pulled the tubes, and she didn't die. She started breathing, and today she's 11 years old. And she runs and plays, and she's over here at the ministry center all the time, running and playing all over the place. Isn't God good? What can God do? I want to take you to a couple of places before we quit here this afternoon. I want to take you to Deuteronomy 32:39. And I want you to see something that God says that most people never have seen this. I want you to see Deuteronomy 32:39. See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I do what? That's something most church don't believe. God kills. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. So who is responsible for life and death? God is, yeah. He is in control. Isaiah 45:5-8, I believe it is. Let's go see what that says, Dave. Isaiah 45. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. You know, when you think about how He girds us and how He makes things happen, even though we don't even know Him. Every time I read this, I think about King Sennacherib. When King Sennacherib one day was sitting there in Syria, he was the king of Syria, and all of a sudden he decided he needed to go out and conquer a nation. So he got up and got his army and then went out and wiped them out. Where do you think those thoughts came from? God. He went out and destroyed a nation. Then he went out and destroyed another nation. And then he went and destroyed another nation. Now he's on the way back to Assyria and he comes through Israel. He said, while I'm over here, I might as well just wipe out these Jews too. Just kill them all. So he goes up and tells the people there, I'm going to kill y'all tomorrow. I'm going to come get you. And so, of course, whenever another nation comes up and says, we're going to kill you, and he's got all these couple of 100,000 troops out there, that gets your attention. So Isaiah and Hezekiah went to prayer. And the Lord spoke to Isaiah and said, Hezekiah's been a good king. He don't have nothing to fear. There's not anything going to happen to him. Now, does it pay good dividends to have a good king? We don't have a good one today, do we? Not very good, that's for sure. So we're in big trouble. Big trouble. But praise God, we have a good king, don't we? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God that He is our king for those of us that want to walk in obedience to His word. Anyway, they kept going back and forth here, and Sennacherib keeps threatening he's going to wipe them out. And so they went and pray again. And, of course, this time God spoke to Isaiah, and he says, you know, tell King Sennacherib not to worry, that King Sennacherib works for me, although he don't know me. He works for me. So if King Sennacherib worked for him, who told him to go kill them other nations? God did, and he obeyed. See, he don't know who I am, but I'm putting thoughts in his mind to go do this for me. But when he come back and said, well, I'm going to decide I'm just going to kill Israel too, when God says, no, he's not going to kill Israel, but he says he is. And he says, that day he come back and said, there is no God that can protect you. Those other nations had gods. I've got a God, my God of Dagon. We're more powerful than any God, so I'm going to wipe out Israel tomorrow. God told him, he said, Isaiah, you don't have to worry. I'm going to send one angel tonight, and that one angel is going to kill all of his troops but a few. And that night, one angel came, and the next morning when Sennacherib got up, there was 185,000 of his men laying dead on the field. Now, who did that? God did. Yeah. God did. He sent an angel to kill them. He says, because he wouldn't give me the glory for all the things he's done. Because he works for me, but he don't know me. But because he doesn't give me the glory, tonight I will send the angel to kill his men. And then tomorrow I will send him back to his own temple, and he'll bow down before his own God, Dagon. And when he bows down before his God, because he didn't give me the glory, I'll have one of his own sons pull his sword and kill him before his God. And do you know that's exactly what happened? Do you know it pays good dividends to make God happy and obey him? He can kill you, can't he? Sure he can. Any number of ways. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Verse 7 and 8. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. You know, I was listening to a radio talk show the other day, and two preachers on there. One of them said, you know, this age-old problem of where evil comes from. If we ever figure out where evil comes from, we might be able to solve some of these problems. It's two preachers. I thought, you boys need to read the Bible. Where does evil come from? Huh? That's not exactly what we think, is it? But what the Scriptures say that? If the Scripture says that, if God put that in His Word, don't you think He means what He says? Now, why does God create evil? He creates evil to keep us in line, straighten us up. God is the one that makes you sick. He'll talk to you over and over again, trying to get you to go straight. In fact, let's go to that Job 33:10 and on. Let's hit a few of those. And we'll show you there, not only is God the one that creates light and dark and all, but He's also the one that makes us sick. And He's also the one that heals us. So all we got to do is make Him happy, stand on His promises, and believe Him with no doubt in our heart, and we get healed. I mean, that's when I told Dave Rosenfeld up there that, Dave started standing on God's promises. Now, Dave didn't get his healing like some people do. Some people get their healing instantly when we pray for you. But Dave, it was an ongoing, long, drawn-out, 20-month process. But you look at him today, he's healed. He was sick all of his life. And, of course, the Lord finally, when he come to me and said, Thurman, why do you think it took me so long to get healed? I said, Dave, only God knows that. I said, you petition him, and he will tell you. So Dave began to petition God. Lord, why did it take so long for me to get healed? And the Lord says, Dave, I don't know you. How would you like for God to tell you that? He said, Lord, I go to church every Sunday. I tithe. I do everything you say. He said, I know, but you and I have no intimacy. This man told me, and this woman just told me a while ago, their husband and wife. So how would you feel, young lady? How long y'all been married? 23 years. What would you feel like 23 years ago if this guy had married you, took you on a week's vacation, a week honeymoon, and then he went back to work and didn't call you for a month?
I'd have to repent.
You'd have to repent. You'd get mad at him, wouldn't you? Because he, when you two got married, you wanted to be close to him, didn't you? He wanted to be close to you. Y'all wanted intimacy. That's why you married. You loved each other. And you didn't dream about him marrying you and then keeping you on a honeymoon for a week and then go away for 2 or 3 or 4 months. But you know that's the way we do God? We get married to him. We love him for a day or a Sunday. And then we may not come back to church for 3 or 4 months. And he still loves us. Now, I don't know a single man or woman that loves each other that much. Like you said, you'd have to repent, right? Of course you would. You know, we're all the same. We can understand this principle with our mates, but we have a problem when God says, you're to put nothing before me. Nothing. Do you think he means that? Now then, for guys, I've seen more men sick with cancer that were Christians because they didn't put God first. They didn't keep the first commandment. God might give them 10, 15, 20 years, some of them 30 years, calling them back, but they will not put him first. And then he does what he says right here. It says that God is picking a quarrel with me and he considers me to be his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks and watches over every move I make. Verse 12 and 13. In this you are not right, and I will show you why. Or as you yourself have said, God is greater than any person, so why are you bringing a charge against him? You say he does not respond to people's complaints. Verse 14 and 15. For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. I wonder how many times God's spoken to you. Have you ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden the thought comes to your mind you need to go over and see Sister Susie or Janie or Bob or whatever, and you just say, no, that's just a fleeting thought. Or the thought come to you, you need to go buy some groceries today, or you need to stop at this store. No, Lord, I never buy groceries over there. I'm going to buy them down here at this store. And then after you buy all your groceries, somebody says, you know, you should have stopped up here at Albertson. They had a great sale today. And you think, gee, I had a thought to stop in there, but I didn't. Who was that trying to talk to you? God. It says, and God speaks to us again and again, though people do not recognize it. Then he says, he speaks in dreams and visions of the night when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in bed. Everybody's had dreams. God's trying to tell us something. Verse 16 and 17. He whispers in their ear and terrifies them with his warnings. Why is he doing this? He causes them to change their minds. He keeps them from pride. He keeps them from the grave. Pride will take you to the grave. It'll kill you early. From crossing over the river of death. God gets no glory in your dying early. He wants you to live and bring glory and honor to his name, to his kingdom.
We are going to stop for today, but we will continue with the teaching tomorrow. If you would like to have this or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching in its entirety on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.